Get a computer repair business website up and running, starting from scratch, even if you don't know anything about website design. Check out the new Tech Site Builder 2. Save 20% by going to techsitebuilder.com/Linux.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Linux for the Rest of Us, episode 127. This, of course, is my favorite Linux podcast with me on it. And who is me? Well, I am Cody Cooper, a.k.a. Supercoop, and I am so fortunate to have such a great co-host, such a great partner in crime, as it were, my good friend, Door-to-Door Geek, a.k.a. Steve McLaughlin. How's it going, Door?
Going pretty good. I'll say I used to be one of the people that never could listen to myself. Now I basically have to listen to myself for quality control, and I don't mind it close to as much. But if I had a list of top whatever podcast for Linux, I would be in the top three. I know that.
There you go.
Well, to be quite honest, going Linux is just so easy to listen to.
Mm-hmm.
The production quality is high, and their topic range is just gold.
I couldn't agree more. Speaking of Linux podcasts, I just, for the very first time, downloaded all of Linux Reality and am going through that. And even though it's 6 years old, six, almost 7 years old now, a lot of it is still relevant. Obviously, some of the web content he's referencing may not be around anymore, but plus it's a great show. If you guys haven't listened to it, check it out.
Well, yeah, I'm tempted to ask you.
Yes, sir.
Every time he gives a link out, ding me with it, because if it's not up to date, I will happily research and make a list of up to date links to complete that, because to me that was, dare I say, the finest work put together for raw information in maybe the most digestible way I've ever heard it described. And
yeah,
you know, dead links don't help.
Right. But no, yeah, the just him being him with his persona that he brings to the show and really dispensing the information in such a good digestible form, I could see would be great for beginning to intermediate to even advanced users, because he does cover some very basic topics, explain some things at ground floor, and then it just goes on from there. Yeah.
Absolutely. I want to ask, how was your week? But I think I already know that.
We're going to cover my week.
Yeah, exactly. I did want to put just a quick blurb out there. The guys listening to this post live, which Tuesday nights, typically 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time live. Tonight we're a little bit late. We had a lot of stuff going on. You're going to hear an audio excerpt about Tech Site Builder 2. I will just say this. If you have a tech repair business and you don't want to spend the time to, and it isn't really to make a site, if you really don't want to take the time to optimize your site to get as the best results you possibly can through click-through, quote-unquote, to close the deal over the phone or something, and if you don't want to take the time to really understand anything about SEO, Tech Site Builder 2, I think, is the quickest, easiest way to get something up and running that customers will follow through with, because I think we as techs have a little nasty habit of making sites a little bit too complex and putting a little bit too much information out there. The real end goal should not be we want customers to read our website. Our real goal should be to get simple points through and make them call us so we as people can use our talents to close a deal.
I agree. And another thing too is that obviously, if you're a tech and you want to either just start your business, or if you ever have a business already established and you want to go bigger, obviously the best way to do it is a good website. And I'll tell you, when I had mine, I put it off for months just going, well, I don't know anything about HTML, and I'm not that familiar with WordPress, and I just kept making excuses. With a product like this, you can put all those excuses aside and just literally hit the ground running, because this is not a new product. It's a proven formula, but this is a revision of a proven formula to meet the modern needs of the computer tech. So if you haven't checked it out already, go to techsitebuilder.com/Linux. Steve is offering a 40% discount currently for the product, and it covers a variety of topics. Like Dor said, much more SEO friendly, completely customizable, good graphics, new layout, You can also add several pages to the product itself, and a new, brand new Google AdWords tutorial, which is huge because since he released the first product years ago, some things have changed with Google AdWords. So just having that information alone is going to be very, very valuable. And I'll say the very first job that you happen to get from this for someone calling you for the site, that job is going to pay for this product and more. So definitely, definitely check it out.
Yeah, that's the only thing I'll just leave with is, please, people, we as Americans have a problem with looking at price and thinking that is the ultimate measuring stick of a product. I can tell you, when a product can make you money, measure how much money you think this can make you, not how much it costs up front. Think of the value, not the cost. That's what I'm trying to say.
ROI, return of investment. It's very high.
And we both learned that this past weekend from an expert, in fact.
Yes, we did.
Yes. We'll get into that in a second. Super quick, basic. And I'll start off with saying I live in America. America is the land of the freedom. It is the land of the free. We enjoy certain freedoms here, and one of the freedoms is we have the freedom to be as hypocritical as we want to be because we're Americans, and that just seems like it's a part of the plan, and I am going to take advantage of that tonight. The basic is sometimes being prepared might be overrated. It all depends, and I will put it like this. Sometimes instincts are actually better because if you over-prepare, you might overthink stuff. And I'm not positive, but I just was at Northeast Linux Fest. I planned on doing maybe 3 hours worth of talk, short question and answer, short break, short talk, rinse, lather, repeat, rinse, lather, repeat. I planned on finishing a lot of my presentation stuff on the bus trip on the way up, and I really didn't get a seat that made it possible. And when I did get a seat that made it possible, my back instantly started to hurt like 5 minutes after I started editing the presentations. So I went in there with what could only be explained as a half an hour worth of presentation slides. That was it. So when I got there and I found that I didn't have a projector, I thought, great, because all it's going to do is remind people I didn't prepare correctly. So, I went in basically no presentation slides. I did have them up on my computer and I glanced at them during the very beginning, but then for the rest of the day, I did not have anything at all. All I had was bullet points, and the bullet points were really nothing more than the overarching topics. And by that, I mean like 4 words per presentation, and that was it. And what turned out, I believe I talked for close to, if not 4 hours total. Because I just, instead of being hard worried about time constraints and everything, because I had this room to myself for the whole day, I basically just talked until the topic ran its course, and I encouraged people to ask questions even during the talk. And I think what I want to do now with a lot of my talks is to have a more, dare I say, interactive talk. I really don't like talking at people. I feel like I'm almost insulting them. I like talking with people. And what I really mean is I don't mind it if someone steers my talk. Now, that doesn't mean anybody can just say anything and it's going to totally change the focus and direction of what I'm talking about. But if it really is a good question, a relevant question, or something else I really do believe the other people will benefit from, I have no problem with taking a 30 degree turn and just go with it. So I had a heck of a lot of fun, met some utterly good people in my class. And even when it was over, I still sat in the hall for well over an hour talking to a group of like 4 or 5 people about more stuff than just what was talked about in my talks. So basically now every conference I go to, I'm going to look for the opportunity to do a minimum of 4 hours, because I don't want to just promote something. I don't just want to give somebody a introduction to what something is like. I want to actually possibly, dare I say, educate people on at least partial completion of topics, and not just give super high level 10,000 foot view, which I do believe a lot of talks are really nothing more than, here's examples of this. This is really cool. Now, when you leave here, check it out on your own.
Yep, definitely.
You know, and hey, I'm a fan for having value-added content after the fact. And by that, what I mean is you get to a certain point in the topic, and then you say, okay, now I am going to publish more at here. You know, that's fair, because, you know, all you're doing is giving them even more content. Mm-hmm. So I actually think it went surprisingly well for the extreme lack of being prepared. You know,
I will say when it comes to preparation, I think I was, I wouldn't say overprepared, but I will say that for my talk, the one thing that I struggled with is something that maybe in my position you would have struggled with too. I had so much I wanted to talk about and not enough time to really cover it all, but I hadn't really, and that's nothing against the time slot or the festival. It was just, I was overprepared, but I was ill prepared for the amount of time, I would say, because I didn't plan on using a projector at all. And so I just had some notes and some bullet points on some sheets of paper on the desk that I was presenting behind from. And as I'm doing my talk, I had to basically edit on the fly and realize, well, I can't cover this section at all. And I had to do that, you know, while standing in front of people looking at me. So if you do get to listen to my talk, there are some pauses, and that's what I was doing, because I had to realize, well, you know, I have to give the thing I'm currently talking about due time, but I don't want to go into this area and do that and this and that. So ultimately, though, I think that we as speakers learned a lot. It was my first time speaking at a fest. It was your second. So, it was overall a fantastic event. Of course, we're talking about Northeast Linux Fest 2013. But, I just gotta say,
super quick, what you said, I completely comprehend. At my talk, there was a realization after the first, like, 20 minutes of my talk, and that was every time I turned my head down to my Chromebook to see what was written, there was a stall and a delay and a break in tempo.
Yeah.
Which, after the 20 minutes, I realized I really didn't like. Okay. I also don't want to over-prepare for the talk, because then it sounds rehearsed. This is supposed to be from your heart, how you really think and feel about stuff. So In the future, the most I'm going to have in my presentation slides is seriously like 3 words per slide, and that is it. Because I don't think that break in tempo is good for us as the speaker or for the listener. I think letting things naturally go where they go when you're talking is the best for both parties, dare I say.
Mm-hmm. No, yeah, I couldn't agree more. But you know what? You got many compliments on your talk. I got a few, which even the first one made all my sort of worries or assumptions about how well it went just immediately disappear. So... But we'll talk more about that. And in fact, we're already talking about NELF. We might as well just continue with our NELF discussion.
Yeah, well, super quick before we get into the beginning and everything.
Oh, sure.
The part that made me upset, physically upset about this year's NELF, was because I was in there talking, I missed a couple talks I honestly wanted to hear, including yours. So that was one thing that honestly I felt dirty or guilty about. I felt almost, and I know you're going to say shut up, but I felt almost guilty that I'm sitting here doing this instead of listening to my friends or other things I find super interesting. So that's one of the things, honestly, as a speaker, you have to, I guess, get over.
Yeah, well, first of all, let me say thank you. I appreciate that. Secondly, what's great about that fact at all is that Northeast Linux Fest did something very, very cool. Before we even left the building, Bruce Patterson, who I must say, I'm gonna have to get that guy a cape because he was a superhero this weekend.
Yeah.
Before we left the building Sunday afternoon, he held in his hand discs, and the discs contained all of the audio for all of the talks. And chances are, by the time this show posts, all of that audio will be made available, so anyone can go see it. Which, I gotta say, some other festivals don't have that kind of turnaround.
Well, okay, first off, we can. It's really super difficult to compare every fest because they all have different amounts of money to play with. They also have a wide range of different amounts of content to manage.
Yes.
The best thing about NELF is it's much smaller. It's much easier to manage and organize. And honestly, in post, it's much easier to deal with. But either way with that, Bruce Patterson, in my humble opinion, deserves a car because this guy pours everything into NELF. Jonathan is the organizer, and Jonathan is the guy that does a lot of things, but I know Bruce, and I know what Bruce does, and I know what Bruce did, and I know because as soon as we got there, we both busted our hump to help Bruce because we know if Bruce needs help, we are going to help him, because if we need help, Bruce is going to help us. You know, he's just that kind of guy.
You feel compelled because you see that there's work to be done and that he and Jonathan both were doing what they could. But yeah, you and I held a helping hand. Paul,
big help, man.
Oh, jeez. Dude,
super
that
guy.
Yeah, very, very cool. And then one of our listeners, John McCarthy, was very, very cool. First thing came up, he introduced himself to me, introduced himself to you, and then literally said, hey, you guys need help with anything? And Jonathan was like, well, yeah, can you help man the table for a little bit? And I got to tell you, that guy spent a lot of time helping. I mean, doing general direction, interacting with the guests of the fest. So he, above and beyond, did quite a bit, as well as many others that I either didn't meet or see. But we got a lot of helping hands for this fest, and a lot of people saying, you know what, I want to help next year. What can I do? And overall, I would say that, cooperation and just trying to move the fest forward and make it better was a huge theme this year for sure.
Yeah, I'll just say, John McCarthy doesn't know this yet, but he already has a nickname in my book. That is Big John McCarthy, because he showed up, he stood tall and proud, he helped when he can, he talked and chatted when he can, he went out of his way to say, if me or you needed help, just let him know, kind of thing.
Right.
And he was excited to just see us and talk to everybody else. You know, he was one of the guys there who was just genuinely nice, which I will say, if there was a meme of that conference, it was the fact that everybody was nice.
Oh, definitely.
You know what I mean? But I say let's kind of start at the beginning.
Certainly.
And like start about our original impression of everything. And the first impression, I don't know about you, but I got that the Boston-Cambridge area had actually a pretty good mass transit system, and Boston and Cambridge compared to my local city of Baltimore, Maryland, was unbelievably clean. I really felt utterly safe everywhere we went at all times that we went. And the hotel that we stayed at, while it wasn't right against the university, it really was just a very short walk to the university.
Yeah, we stayed at the Harvard Square, which is about 3/4 mile away. And when you think of a 3/4 mile walk, you're like, oh, really? But you got to understand, all of that was through this large downtown area. So we purposely took a couple different routes every time we went,
right,
just to see more of the area. And it was never like, oh, we're trudging along, we got to get to where we're going. It was, we'd stop and, hey, look at this shop, and hey, look at that. And, oh, we can come back here and check this out. And there was tons of that. So, yeah.
Yeah. On the way there and on the way to the after party, all we kept saying to ourselves was, oh, there's a Dunkin' Donuts. Oh, there's a Five Guys. Oh, there's a comic book store. Oh, there's this restaurant. And we just kept saying it the whole time. And I'll say, generally speaking, the people of that area just came off as nice. Now, I will say it was spring break weekend, so it wasn't jam-packed with 18 to 20-year-olds. There was still 18 to 20-year-olds around, plenty of them, I'll say, but in just general, it wasn't super crowded, and everybody was just genuinely nice, and that, to me, is a huge benefactor, a side benefit from that fest, where they did it, when they did it.
Yeah, it seemed, aside from St. Patrick's Day night, it seemed uncommonly empty during the day and during the morning, obviously. But yeah, the nightlife, it wasn't nearly as busy for what I expected, but that could definitely be explained by being a college town and having most of the students gone. That being said, though, the food, the places we went to eat were all amazing.
Oh, yeah.
And I got to say, we didn't go to a bunch of high-end restaurants. I mean, we went to some good local places that were suggested either through locals themselves or we read some restaurant reviews. One of my favorite spots was literally across the street from a hotel, and that was Charlie's Kitchen.
Yeah, buddy.
Oh, Charlie's. So imagine a really cool bar. Really cool, kind of a small bar. They have two levels. And on the front of the bar, they say the best double cheeseburger in town. And you're like, okay, challenge accepted.
Exactly.
And you walk in, and that cheeseburger, that double cheeseburger plate, is cheaper than everything else on the menu.
Yep.
And you're just like, wow. Bunch of good beer on tap. We got those double cheeseburgers, and yeah, pretty damn good, I got to say.
Yeah, and I'll say, around me at least, most bars that have beer on tap totally negate some classes of beer. Like Buffalo Wild Wings is a chain around here.
Oh, yeah. You know,
whatever. Mm-hmm. They don't have a single wheat beer on tap. They have nothing but IPAs, one stout, and like one ale.
Yep.
And Charlie's had an extreme range of beers, and they had beers that they basically swapped out. Where tonight it's this, tomorrow it's going to be something else. The staff of it was very nice. It was loud, but not too loud. It was like you could hear all the stuff going on, but you could still hold conversations. And to me, that was like presto. And I'll say that banging wings because I'm fat.
Yeah, the wings were very good. I think we went everywhere we went that had wings. I tried the wings just because I'm a mean fiend. Yeah, so we tried like four different wings. Charlie's was really good. Although I would say my favorite place that we ate food was the Border Cafe.
Well, that was one that Bruce specifically said you gotta go here. And I'm thinking Borders. What is it? A bookstore that has food in it? But right. I was completely wrong. It's more like country Borders, national Borders. It was Mexican cuisine.
Tex-Mex, but they also had Cajun, too.
Yes, you're right.
Yeah, so that place was amazing. I got to tell you, the best swordfish I've ever had. They had a blackened, Cajun herb-crusted swordfish. And, oh, geez. Every single place I went, I walked out of there just full.
I wanted to take naps.
Yeah.
Right. And we both got in on Friday. The fest did not start until Saturday. We both did not leave town until Monday. Technically, the fest was over Sunday.
Yep.
Yes. So we purposely did that so we could basically lounge around, admire the surroundings, talk with people we wanted to talk to, and relax getting in and out of town, not rush and go blitzkrieg. So we purposely were at, a slightly slower pace than everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
And Russ Winter also came in the same day as us, left the same day as us.
Russ the Beast Winter.
Oh, dude, that guy.
Let
me tell you something. Russ is the most calmest, quietest, demeanor, patient, polite fellow.
Mm-hmm.
But he can hang. He can hang like with men.
I mean,
more than a couple times, I just kept thinking, dude, this guy is just rolling.
Mm-hmm.
He is just rolling and completely, he made two of us, I think, like fall to the ground laughing at least three times.
Yes. Russ was a fantastic addition to the local crew that we had there while we were there. And yeah, he was indispensable.
Well, yeah. And I'll say you and Russ were both, I would say, geniuses of the fairway. You and him knew every vendor, talked to every vendor, and knew where the good swag was, mm-hmm. and what to focus in on getting. So when it came time for me to go there, I just looked at you or Russ, and you or Russ were like pointing over there, hold something up in front of my face. Oh, okay, I'm over there. And so I knew. The people of this fest were fantastic. And I'm almost afraid to start saying names because I know I'm going to forget names. Okay. I could have forgotten Pokey because he never listens to the show, and that's okay. He doesn't listen to the show. But I got to meet Pokey, who I got to say, there were only a few people I was truly, utterly looking forward to meeting. Okay. Pokey was one of those guys because he helps everybody. He helps everybody immensely. And I really did want to shake his hand.
Pokey from Hacker Public Radio.
Well, he doesn't. I said that, and he got a little offended. But he hasn't listened, so we really don't care about that. But
right.
He basically insists he is not HPR. He is just a member of the HPR community.
But still, yeah.
Right. And we got to meet Bad Wolf.
We got to meet Bad Wolf.
Yeah, his son. I'll say a couple other people who we met that I was really delighted to meet was Tom Blazels. Is that how you say his name?
Tom Blaz.
Blaz. I never say last names wrong, Tom, so I am super sorry. Okay. We got to meet him. Really super nice guy. John McCarthy also came into my talk a couple times.
Mm-hmm.
And like shamelessly self-promoted my videos.
Right.
To which I'm like, dude, you ain't got to do that, man.
He beat me to the punch because the session I sat in on, you basically opened up to questions, and I had my hand raised, but so did he. He was addressed first for whatever reason. I guess the listeners hold more regard than I do, whatever. Anyway, no, just kidding. But then he basically said almost exactly what I would have said. Is there a video series or some product we can perhaps purchase to support you with which to gain extra knowledge from, something like that? And you could just see Dor the whole time, head in hands, just shaking his head, just going, I use. Son of a,
he got me.
That's what we need to do, because there is a video series available. But
yeah.
As an extension from what you're saying, real quick, I do want to address the vendors. One of the things that I think that I didn't do enough when I was at OLF last year was talk to a lot of the vendors. I made several laps, got some swag, which is what you got to do to get the good swag at the vendor tables, no matter what. Fest you go to, you got to get there early because some of them have some very limited items, which you'll hear and see about later. We'd be like, oh, I wish I would have woke up early for that. One of them was at the Red Hat table. They had the, first of all, I don't know if these are legal or not. It's a USB key, a 4 gig USB key.
Oh, it's 4 gig?
4 gigs.
I didn't get a chance to plug it up yet.
4 gigs. It's a 4 gig USB key, but it's also a bottle opener. Now,
genius.
I saw those on the table, and at OLF, they I can't remember who gave them away, but they were like, they only had like 10. These guys had more, but I literally went up and I was like, oh, what do I got to do to get one of those? He just handed it to me. He goes, here. It's like, oh, yeah. And then later, I talked to Dor. I said, hey, did you get one of these? He goes, no, where do I get that? I said, I'll go get one for you. I did. But yeah, get there early. But in regards to the vendor tables, the best thing you can do, make your lap, you know, get your swag, because some of it's limited, do that. But then as you're going along, in my head, like what I did was, I'm like, you know, I'm going to come back and I'm going to talk to this person. And I formulated some questions I wanted to ask, because I literally, you can see that they really appreciate people coming up and or at least want to know about the product or have some questions or at least know who they are. And because that's what they're there for. They're there to promote. They helped out the fest, you know, through donations or just having a general presence. And it makes it more worthwhile for them for you to go up and ask them. For instance, I had a very good talk about OpenSUSE 12.3 with the OpenSUSE guy. And I just went up to him. I said, you know, I used an older version of OpenSUSE. I understand there's a bunch of improvements in this latest version. Would you mind kind of pitching it to me and letting me know what it is? And just beat after beat, he knew exactly what to talk about. And he dispensed it in such a way that I understood it. And he and I went back and forth for maybe about 10, 15 minutes. So it was very cool to go up and just ask as kind of like, you know, a basic, you know, just, I mean, just a real person to interface with a real person who knows a lot about a product you might want to inquire about. The same thing, the Fedora table, Think Penguin, HP. The guy from HP was cool. I got to say that. He was very, very nice.
Oh, he was one of the boys as far as I'm concerned.
He was. He was just about everywhere we went. We'll say that.
And having a good time.
Yes, he was. He was very, very nice.
Yeah, and that's what I'll say. I don't know if this is true or not, but like you said, it was very easy to communicate with the vendors. And like the Red Hat guy also, I got to say, was such a down-to-earth guy.
Oh, yeah. The guy with the little guy with the glasses?
Yes.
Yep, yep.
He was a very down-to-earth guy. I didn't have as much time as I wanted to do that kind of thing, but... I tried, and I will say just real quick, one of the guys I met that I didn't know I met until after I met, and then when I did, it was too late, was a Guru from Android Buffet. I don't remember what I was doing, but I know it was a little panicky, twitchy, getting something done kind of thing. And a guy just started talking to me out of the blue, and I was just like, yeah, you know, being nice, yeah, true, and then said something back, and then he said something back to me, and then I walked away. And then like an hour later, someone said, man, Guru was a lot taller than I thought. I thought, Guru who? Where?
That was me.
I was like, the guy you were just talking to. Oh, well, then I'm sure I just came off as rude, because I didn't actually, you know, shake his hand and say, how's anything going? And then after the fact, because he was only there for one day, and I don't think it was a full day, but it was close.
Yeah.
He Google talked me on Monday, and I basically said I was sorry. He said, don't worry about it, And we talked for a little bit on Google Talk. So now I know who he is, so the next time I'll be right there shaking his hand, asking if I can buy him a sandwich or something for lunch.
Yeah. And this is Guru from Android Buffet, for those of you who were wondering, if you weren't aware. You were standing there talking to Pokey, and Guru was standing next to you, and I just happened to walk up at a very key point when you were talking about the chemistry between co-hosts on podcasts.
Oh. It wasn't every podcast, Cody.
well, go ahead and defend yourself. Tell the listeners what you're talking
about. No, I'll first start and say, well, obviously this is not a good podcast then. But I said, because Pokey did a podcast with Jonathan, they do on HPR about how to install Sonar, a distribution geared towards people who need accessibility. So Pokey literally turned off his monitor and only using his speakers, guided himself around the interface and installed Sonar. And to which I said, that to me is the absolute best combination of people to make a podcast successful. And he was like, I don't even know. What are you talking about? I said, well, you have one person who knows and one person who doesn't know. And then he just took me again. And I said, one person who's smart and one person who's stupid. I said, so the stupid person can ask the smart person questions and the smart person can answer them very accurately and quickly. It makes for a fast-paced yet very informative podcast, and most of the time that makes for the best podcast duo. And as soon as I said that, Cody walked up and said, well, which one does that make me? And I just had a lump in my throat. And I just wanted to say, well, I said, good podcast, Cody. We're not a good podcast. I didn't know what else to say. I was totally dumbfounded.
He had to grab his ankle and pull his foot out of his mouth.
Yeah.
But no, it was like the perfect time for me to walk right up, because he said, stupid person. And then he looked over at me, and I could just see him as he was continuing to talk, just kind of kick his head back, just like, oh, jeez.
Well, I think Pokey thought the same thing. You're saying I'm stupid?
right.
No. But
I took no offense to it. But no, you're right. It is nice to have an experienced person and someone who isn't experienced to gain the knowledge from. I perfectly agree, and that's what I would consider myself, less experienced than you. And I learn stuff every week.
Well, you just said it much better than I did.
There you go.
I'll say that. A super quick thing, I want to make sure we don't overlook this, is sure. I want to talk about the physical building establishment where this talk was held. I will say it seemed to me that it was, I think, a little bit hard to initially find the building because it's on a college campus, and it isn't like they had big maps at every entranceway showing you where all the buildings were. Honestly, I think we got a little bit lucky, but partially we had Russ Winter, the Beast, doing his due diligence to guide us correctly using his snappy and accurate phone's GPS to get us in the right direction. Because we weren't even sure we were close, and then we all turned to the side and we said, "Oh, the science building. This is it."
Yep.
And then we walked in, and voila, there we are. Mm-hmm. With that said, a big, wide open campus, easy to get around, easy to move around. The building, the hallways were a little bit narrower than I thought they would have been in a college campus, but they weren't thin. You know what I mean? But the one thing I really, really liked and really, really enjoyed about this place was they had genuine lecture halls. Yes. They didn't have rooms, conference rooms. They had lecture halls with stadium seating, which meant the person giving the talk could basically almost talk at a normal pitch, and people 30 rows back could still easily hear them.
Yes, the acoustics in those rooms were basically meant for that, which aside from other areas I've been in where it is like a large conference room, but the acoustics are not meant for that. You need to either have an amplification system, or if you were sitting around a table with a small group of people talking, it would be fine. Yes. But yeah, my experience at the lecture hall was great. I had a number of people, probably about, I don't know, 25, 30 people in my talk. And yeah, no problem whatsoever. And whenever I've done public speaking before, I've always had a microphone or a lapel mic. So, but after just standing in the room for a couple minutes, you feel, I felt calm and knowing this is going to work out.
Yeah. And this is not honestly trying to come off as dumb or rude sounding, but Jonathan Nadeau was the first speaker. Okay. He's blind. He could not look around and see how far people were from him. If anybody would have been susceptible to not talking loud enough, it would have been him. Yep. I was literally behind the back row standing up because I was still running around helping Bruce. But every time I was back there for a couple minutes, I could hear him perfectly. So when that happened, I thought to myself, everybody who comes here to talk, even if their back is turned because of the acoustics, they're going to hear everything just fine. And that was such a, the good thing about this place that Jonathan picked, Harvard Science Building, that I love it. I love it.
It was a very good location. As of right now, it sounds like that's exactly what they're going to use next year. There are four large lecture halls and then also some classrooms, which one of which was utilized for Doors Talk all day. And I got to tell you, that was really perfect because he only had three main tracks, utilizing only three out of the four halls. So as the fest grows, especially how big it's going to be next year, utilizing those four halls all day long, I will definitely, it's nice because it leaves room for growth. So very, very impressed with the acoustics there. With the setup equipment they had was also very nice because we could literally just plug in laptops, have the projectors set up immediately. It wasn't like hard to find, you know, power outlets. It was set up for the purpose that we were using it for, which was very nice.
Yeah, and Jonathan basically insinuated it almost didn't matter how it went this year. They were going to come back next year. Partially because they already went through the growing pains, he believes, a lot of the growing pains, he believes, for how to deal with this place, what to expect from this place. Surprises, I think, are one of the worst things you could have trying to organize these things.
Yes.
So he's probably going to be back at the exact same place. And I can see him doing a little bit of expansion on the talks. I think he's going to take it very slow at a very controlled pace. Mm-hmm. But I'll say he had a lot of really ballistically smart people talking. I mean, this is not like, hokey talkers. The people I got to listen to and watch and read their bios, I mean, I'm never going to have the clout that these people have in technology. These people were really like heads of industries, you know, from guys like Mad Dog Hall, Matt Lee, a whole bunch of people. What's that his name, Matt Lee, the guy from Free Software Foundation?
Yep, yeah, Matt Lee from the FSF. The guy from Fedora, I can't remember his name. Talk for just a second, I'll grab my program.
Sure, yeah. He had a couple of really high class people, and the people who still were not high class were still experts in their field. I just got to say, the Mad Dog Hall talk, he could be reading the side of a box of cereal, and I would still be utterly happy to hear him talk, because his vision comes across very well when he talks. Even if I heard him say the same joke four times, I don't care. It's still good stuff.
I agree. Yes, some of the other talkers were Ted So, who works for Google. He's one of the
This guy
EXT4. Yeah.
Made me feel so stupid. He made me feel like a complete moron. Like I was dirt, caveman level, because this guy understood so much about the hardcore inner components of file systems.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, he works on the EXT4 file format, which is one of the default formats for most distros today. And yeah, I got to tell you, yeah, as hard as Dore, Jonathan, Russ, and I were all sitting there in the back in a tight-knit corner listening to his talk, and you just know that there are people that are just on another level, and he was one of them. He did have a very funny story to sort of relay about a certain Android hardware manufacturer, and yeah. had a funny line that I'm sure that he didn't take it as very funny, but the other people in the crowd were just cracking up. Very, very cool. Also, John Sullivan from the FSF, Matthew Garrett, of course, was talking about secure boot. Wendy Seltzer from the World Wide Web Consortium was there. John Mad Dog Hall, of course. David Nally building clouds with Apache CloudStack.
Right.
And then Sam Klein from the OLPC.
Yeah, and I'm trying to remember the stat Jonathan told me about HP. Something like how much they actually do contribute to open source stuff. And it was insane.
They contribute to a lot of open source projects and have for years, but Jonathan, myself, Dore, and Russ just didn't know that. And we even talked to the guy, and we said, you know, you guys should promote that more. And he's like, yeah, I know. And he had, I'm not going to repeat it, but he had a very funny, he was telling us about some of their successes and less successful marketing things, which is known to anyone, you know, who's been following HP for years. But yeah, I had no idea they contributed that much. And if I did, I got to tell you, I would have perhaps purchased some more HP products in the past.
Yeah.
So hey, HP, if you're doing good things, tell people. And don't be ashamed, because you're just going to make more money out of it.
Yeah, it kind of helps to tell people what's going
Speaking of HP specifically, I want to thank them for not only whatever contribution they made to the festival, but their representative was very cool. They had an awesome, huge like server that they were showing off. But they also loaned the festival a number of laptops.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Those things were like, honestly, dude, I could smack like 30 people in the face with those laptops and it would still function fine. They were the most firm, rigid framed laptops I think I've ever dealt with. Because I know, because Bruce gave them to me and I ran around and put them on the, in the halls, and then me and Cody both went back and set them up.
Yep. It was the enterprise level. They're called the HP Elite books. And it is you know, a higher end, like business enterprise level. However, they are available for anyone to purchase. And I got to say, from a physical build quality, they reminded me a lot of the mid and high range Lenovo stuff, which I'm a big fan of, mainly because of the build quality. Because, I mean, it's a laptop. I'm carrying it around everywhere. I can't buy, and Steve C has mentioned this, and so have you, Dory, you know, some of like the lower end, like $249, $300, you know, consumer level, like low end stuff. It's a toy. Like Fisher Price might as well have made the plastic on the outside for it, because one solid drop or bump, the thing's just toast. This stuff, just like what I've said with the Lenovo in the past, you could beat a cougar to death with it. In self-defense, in self-defense, yes. But very, very impressed with them, with those laptops. And the HP guy even said, you know, we sell a lot of them refurbished a lot of time on the website. Go check it out. I immediately pulled up my Chromebook, looked it up, and they had a variety of them available right then. Of course, the limited quantities, you know, act now, that type of deal. But he said they're available all the time. So if you're in the market for a laptop, check out the refurbished center on HP's website. And yeah, check out those Elite books. Check out one of the 360-degree views. Very, very impressive hardware. And what was the door? You want to speak about your experience with Fedora 18 on them?
I was surprised enough that I'm literally going to install it on a laptop here.
Yep, me too.
Because it was just butter. Everything about it was butter. And the one tip he gave us was, if you buy them refurbished from HP, they are so close to being like the consumer grade prices, but you get the full warranty as well. He said for anyone who plans on moving around their laptop, you have to get one of these and not the consumer grade.
Yep. Yep, definitely. And also, it doesn't come loaded with a lot of the quote-unquote crapware, because they're refurbished and they don't have to make the profit margin on it, you know, that is subsidized by, you know, getting, you know, this antivirus vendor or this multimedia vendor, et cetera, et cetera. I think it just comes with a stock installation of Windows 7 or Windows 8, depending on what they're shipping with, and that's basically it.
I know that's the impression I got. I gotta say, he was the guy that I was utterly shocked at how, I don't want to say non-professional, because that really does sound like an utter insult to him. I was almost shocked at how normal he was.
He didn't seem like an HP rep. He just seemed like another open source enthusiast that knew some stuff about HP.
Exactly.
Yeah. And yeah, he just came off as one of the guys. And I got to tell you, at the fest and even after hours, he came out and hung out with us. He was one of the guys. Yeah. And as much as we're talking about HP right here, like, he never gave us like a sales pitch. Like, I had to ask him. I was like, hey, can you tell me a little bit about these Elite books? And he was like, sure, no problem. Very, very open, but never pushed it. And we weren't paid to give an endorsement to HP. I was just that impressed by their presence and by him and by their hardware to talk about it.
Oh yeah, and if anybody knows me in my past, I spent a lot of time and a lot of effort and a lot of energy speaking bad about HP, because I believed that they deserved it. Mm-hmm. You know, what I saw this past weekend with those devices, because I've never seen before, I was just genuinely shocked and impressed, and he was utterly honest and open about everything. And he got everybody beer. He got me a beer when he saw I was empty at the party, because it was free after all.
That's a very good point, Dora. In fact, I think that'd be a perfect time to move away from HP and talk about another main contributor to this fest, which was, of course, beer.
Yes, it was. That was Matt Lee. Thanks to Matt Lee, he basically did every bit of organization for the after party, because, to be quite honest, it is almost equal. What you put in is what you get out of this. That's what I think Jonathan said, and it was very obvious to me. He put a little bit of time into finding the best place he possibly could, and the nicest people he possibly could, because I was just, you know, when we walked in, the guy at the front door was literally like 6'10".
Yeah, 6'8".
Well, I he was gigantic.
Huge.
And I was generally intimidated. I thought this is not going to be cool. I'm going to go in, get a beer, I'm going to leave. But every single person who worked in the place was just nice, super nice. And they had one of the most genius inventions of any bar I've ever seen. They had what they called a beer window. You have the bar, and if you were to go behind one of the sides of the bar, they had a wall, and in the middle of the wall, they had a hole punched out where you would just walk up and a guy would come over from behind the bar and say, what do you need? And you would just say the beer, and you instantly got a beer. So you didn't have to fight with anybody at the bar.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't have to push. You didn't have to shove. You didn't have to do nothing. There was a lot of us, and there was regular customers of this place.
Right.
I think the longest I had to wait for a beer literally was like a minute, minute and a half, maybe.
But that's mainly because you were standing behind other people waiting at the window.
Yeah.
So it was well deserved. And before I forget, the establishment, the after party was held at was JJ Foley's, which very, very cool establishment. And what was nice, and I thank them for supporting the event. What was nice about that window too is that it fed into the segregated room of ours that we had for the after party, which made it that much easier. We didn't have to walk out to the bar area and then wait. So that's just a good planning on their part. And I'm sure that they have other events that had success with that small construction, dare I say, benefit. It worked out quite well. However, yeah, I wouldn't say the amount of beer that I drank was nice, but the variety that we had around town was fantastic. There was one place, well, I should say, aside from Russ the Beast Winter's homebrew.
Oh, yeah.
Which he brought some of that to. And I got to tell you, we were in his room 10 seconds before he's like, okay, homebrew. He brought some fantastic Irish porter. And of course, his Oktoberfest, which was my favorite beer from OLF. And I got to tell you, it was my favorite beer this year, too, because it's just so, so good. So, Dor, you tried both of them. What was your opinion on the porter?
I'm not a porter fan at all. It was still very drinkable.
Yep.
Most of the time, I take a sip of porter and I'm like, that's too much. That's too strong. I don't need something like that. But let's just say it went down smooth. Mm-hmm. But that Oktoberfest, I was just in awe.
Mm-hmm.
That was
every
just
time
gold, absolute every, gold.
Every single time I drink it, I'm just like, oh man, I need to move. I need to either move in next door to Russ or move him here next to me. Just having that stuff is great. However, there was one establishment that, I mean, really, really shined as far as beer quality, and that was John Harvard's.
Praise John Harvard.
Oh, geez. We made sure. We actually kind of stumbled onto it on our last, or on our first night, I should say. And we got there really late, like 11:30, midnight, something like that.
Well, yeah, because we basically were just stumbling. Okay, we were kind of stumbling around. And then basically Russ said something to the degree of, so, I mean, how are we going to find a place to go? So I just pulled out my phone, Android voice search, locate bars. And boop, boop, boop. And then it listed three or four names, and I said one, and somebody said, John Harvard, let's go try that. To which I said, okay, let's go. And we went in there, and as soon as we went in there, the first thing I thought was, dude, this is some fancy pants thing that I'm not going to be able to afford. This is crazy, because it was such a good-looking, traditional bar, wide open, wood every place,
yep.
Well lit. It wasn't a dark, musky hole. And everybody who I saw work there, which was like three people, looked unbelievably clean and ready to do stuff. And yeah, I think we got there almost midnight. Now that I think about it, because they were closed shortly after we got there.
Yeah, we got there. Jonathan and Dor and I got a little table in the corner, and not only is it a bar, but it's also a brew pub. They make their own beer, which I love. I love to try those places because I'm like, well, let's see what they have. And one of the first things that Dor basically insisted that we try is their barley wine. Now, for those
it's called Double Deuce.
No, I was getting to that, but by all means, beat me to the punch. That's fine. I always like to see a little bit of pizzazz thrown in when marketing your beer. And when I saw the Double Deuce, I was like, okay, I got to get that, because that, of course, is the bar in one of the greatest films of all time, which is Patrick Swayze's 1987 or 89, excuse me, Action Extravaganza Roadhouse, which is awesome. So yeah, we all got the barley wine ale, and you know you get really 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 good beer when you take a little sip of it, and it just hits you with waves of flavor. And every single beer we ordered there, every single one of us were just like, oh wow, we had to take our time to really savor that. It's not something you can just chug because it's a waste. It was fantastic. Every single beer I had there was fantastic.
Yeah, and I'll just say this, okay, to shoot straight with everybody, plenty of people in my lineage had severe problems with alcohol. Okay, I don't really have a problem with alcohol. Some alcohol tastes good, I like to drink. Some alcohol tastes bad, I like to drink. I don't drink alone, I don't do any of that. When I'm with good guys, I like to have a brew. Okay, and the split second this beer touched my lips, I was literally happy.
Mm-hmm.
Because it tasted that good. And like you said, the flavors are so complex. I just kept questioning what was going on here. My universe is now blown. And I would say I was utterly disappointed at the same time. Because I didn't have someone like Tracy Holtz sitting right there holding my hand, telling me, describing to me all the aspects and facts of this beer. Because I know, I mean, he might not have liked it. He might not have liked it at all. But he would have been able to tell me what was going on in my mouth.
Yep.
And that's all I really wanted. And I did have one other beer. It was a porter. Was it a porter stout? Stout porter?
Yep. It was a porter, yeah.
And again, I'm not a porter guy. That was tasty.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, we really shouldn't talk about getting drunk, but the Double Deuce was 10.2% alcohol.
Yes.
For that right there, audio viewers can't see it. That's a double thumbs up.
Two thumbs up. And then I think this is a perfect time for me to address our alcohol consumption and the results of it. I posted a photo Sunday morning.
Oh, yeah.
On Google Plus. Well, some of you have already...
Because it was taken with your phone.
Yes, it was. And for those of you who don't know, at OLF, there was one night where some could say he overdid it a little, and then some people might have been shocked. Regardless of that, one of my nicknames, the Ice Machine, is I passed out in front of an ice machine due to me being completely exhausted at OLF last year. Okay, whatever. So I was basically telling everybody, I really want to get a photo in front of the ice machine at this hotel this year. And going back to the speakers, John Mad Dog Hall, I would say he brings gifts much like Santa Claus. And the fact that he kind of looks like Santa is kind of funny now that I think about it and say that. Yeah. But he brings things with him to these fests. Last year he brought that Linus Torvalds clock, which I won, and I have. It's awesome. This year he brought a Linux license plate for Jonathan Nato as a gift. And we got a photo of Jonathan Nato holding up the license plate. And then we got two different photos. We got one photo of him holding it upright, as you would, like, hey, I got this thing. But, of course, Jonathan's blind. So we got another photo with him purposely holding it upside down.
Yeah, and if you ever see those two pictures, you'll notice when he's holding it upside down, he's smiling bigger because he was cackling hysterically as we took the picture.
Because he's in on the joke. He knows the deal, right? And that's more of a callback. And was the thing, I got a little bit of flack from some people who don't know my relationship with Jonathan, which is that a really good friend. Because I took that photo and posted it, and people were like, why didn't you tell him it was upside down? I'm like, no, that's part of the joke. And it's a callback to, go ahead.
Right. I might be wrong. A very horrible podcast, and they even say it's horrible themselves, called Dev Random, recorded the day after you posted that picture. They brought up on the show, one of the persons on the show completely scolded you, and they let him go. And then when everything was done, they were like, no, dude, that's Jonathan probably said, now let me turn it upside down and you take a picture. So okay, I need to listen to that because that sounds funny.
Oh, I'll listen to that and they will get a response. Trust me.
Oh, well, they won't play it or acknowledge it because they're deprecating them.
I'll post my response on Google Plus. No big deal. But anyway, that's more of a callback to a photo that we took at OLF last year, where it was me, you, Red, and I think Byer was in it, and Jonathan as well. It was four or five of us. Well, Jonathan even said, "Hey, wouldn't it be hilarious if I turned around?" Where he was facing the completely other way in the group. So he did. He turned around and he was like waving, like he was waving to the camera, but he was 180 degrees the wrong way. Well, this photo of the license plate was more of an homage to that. Well, and then we wanted to pay an homage to my ice machine picture. So I got a picture of me in the little alcove with the ice machine and the Coke machine slumped up against the wall, looking like I was passed out with my mouth open. And Jonathan is bent down on one knee, giving a thumbs up to the camera, and like, "Hey, I got him back," you know. But then there's the Linux license plate upside down,
on
my belly. Yeah. So yes, that photo was staged. I did not get blitzed out of my mind. And
well, you did, but you didn't pass out.
Anyway, moving right along.
Well, I did too.
I will say that if we were scoring every night. Friday night went to me. Saturday night went to you and Russ were neck and neck, but you prevailed.
I don't know. Russ was the man. It's hard for me to not give him that point.
Right. Okay. But then Sunday night, I would say it went to Jonathan.
I don't know Jonathan or Russ.
Anyway, we had a good time. None of us got arrested. Some of the people in the comments thread of the photo that I posted from my own phone of me slumped down over like I just had way too much. Yes, it was staged. Yes, it was on purpose. We completely respect the hotel, and we appreciate it. And you know, a lot of you guys have supported us throughout the years, knowing that you want to hear feedback and want to hear things that fun that have happened during these fests. And I don't want you to think that we're just literally just like on the clock while we're there and then like, okay, we need to go get completely wasted, and then we go get completely wasted, because that's not what we did. We had a lot of fun in the area, and the area was so, like, there were so many places that I saw that we didn't have the time to go to.
Yeah. Honestly, the only way we would have been able to do quote-unquote everything was if we were there a week.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I'll say this. The only time we drank was when we all said, "I'm hungry, let's go get something to eat." And then we went, and they're serving beer here too. Well, give me a beer. What? Oh, you have good beer. Give me, have two of them. And then, you know, when we get back to the hotel, it just so happens there's beer there too.
Yes.
You know, and we literally would basically stay up as late as we possibly could, BSing with each other, just making each other laugh. I think the actual goal was we were trying to get somebody else to pee their pants laughing, but that never happened. No. But we definitely tried.
I will say that Jonathan nearly passed out a few times for laughing so hard, and he literally had to get on his knees on the floor and press his hands into the floor to prevent himself from falling over, which was awesome. We had a great time.
We got to give a shout out to BJ.
No, I was about to say, ultimately, what I really appreciate is the people that I met there.
Yeah.
One of the people that we met was a guy named Joe.
And Joe probably will never listen to this podcast.
Nope.
And everything we say about him is in honest to goodness love, because he was really, really a nice guy.
He was a very, very nice guy. We met him at the after party. And then during which he, I was wearing one of my Street Fighter Hadouken shirts, like it was like Major League Baseball, but it was Ryu, you know, throwing out the fireball. And he and I got to talking about video games. He knew a lot about some Linux-based games, and then he even had a SanDisk, what is it? Oh, the thing that Russ has. It was a clip. It was a little SanDisk clip MP3 player, which had, I don't know, maybe like an inch LCD on it, if not smaller, but he had loaded all these old school games on it. He could play with just the directional buttons. Like, he had Doom on this little tiny device. I'm talking like the device itself was like an inch wide by an inch and a half tall, but it was so cool to see that he had put hacked it and put Rockbox on it and then installed all these games on it. It was cool. So yeah, very, very nice guy. That being said, after the after party, he just kept following us.
Yeah.
And it wasn't like, what's going on with this guy? I mean, we were engaged in conversations. And he was just overall very nice. He followed us a number of places. And one of the places, he and Dor had to go use the facilities at one place. And Russ and Jonathan and I are out there. And Jonathan said, that Joe guy from Fedora, is he still with us? And I said, Jonathan, he's not from Fedora. And he goes, really? He goes, well, where is he from? And Russ is like, I don't know. And we're like, we don't know. Well, what does he do? And we're like, well, we don't know. So we literally just had this guy hanging out with us. We don't know where he's from, what he does, nothing. And so we gave him a nickname. Russ was like, let's call him Tagalong Joe because he's tagged along with us. And I said, well, we should call him Barnacle Joe because we're a ship and he just all of a sudden is on our hull and we don't know where he came from or how long he's going to be with us. And then Russ said in his accent, he goes, let's call him BJ.
Yeah.
So he was known as Barnacle Joe or BJ while he was with us. Very, very nice guy. But he, I would say, what was that, Saturday night?
Yes.
He gets the medal for overdoing it because that guy was visibly sick.
Yeah.
To the point where he was nonverbal, slumped over.
Yeah. He had, and turns out he had no place to stay. If he did, he didn't even know how to get there. Mm-hmm. So basically, when we were literally winding down, we knew we cannot just leave this guy at all.
No, because there's no way he's going to get on a train and be able to navigate himself to wherever he needs to go. There's just no way. He's beyond that at all. Yeah.
Right. And it isn't like we had to carry him or anything, but we had to just guide him. We had to say, come on, Joe, let's go here. And so basically, I already, to be honest, offered my bed to Guru on Friday night because I wanted Guru to come up Friday night. And to be honest, being like 6'5" or however big Guru is, he needs a bed. Okay. He's not sleeping on the ground. Okay.
Right. Right.
I have time to recuperate. I can sleep on the ground one night. So Joe comes into the room. And as soon as he gets in the room, I know this guy is going to feel miserable tomorrow morning. I don't want him to be sore and miserable. Mm-hmm. So I immediately just say to him, you're sleeping in the bed. And he starts to say something.
To politely argue and be like, no, this is your room. You know, I'm just the guest. But Dor, and just as good as a guy he is, and I didn't really know the amount of kind of what he explained to you, Dor really thought about it. Well, you know, this guy tomorrow morning and this and that, and I should really do this. And he just did it. So he slept in Dor's bed. Dor slept on the floor. But yeah, it was very, very cool to sort of meet a new friend and to be able to help him out in his time of need, which I got to tell you. And then Joe, it was very, very, very cool the next morning. And then he went to the fest with us again and then just kind of
disappeared. Yeah. I honestly hope. I mean, I want to go next year, and I want to see a bunch of people next year. I want to see Barnacle Joe next year.
Yes.
And I want to just hang with him some more. You know what I mean?
Definitely.
So what's changed since then, Joe? Do you drink alcohol a little bit slower?
Right. Well, it was funny because beforehand, he's like, I don't drink that much anymore, but when I do drink, I like to have good beer and like to be around good people.
Well, there you go.
I will say that he followed those two rules to a T.
Yes, he did.
That weekend. It was very, very cool.
Right, and that was really Saturday was the busy day at the fest. That's mm-hmm. when a majority of everything went down, which is why I got really zero time to hang with guys like Bruce.
Yep.
So come Sunday morning, I had it in my heart, I am going to chill and relax and talk to a couple people I didn't get a chance to. So that was the only day I really got to hang with Bruce.
You and Bruce and I, we went and we got some breakfast after we sort of got the Sunday day started.
At breakfast, lunch, I don't remember what it was because I was still tired and I did feel a little drunk still, but I know I wasn't. And we went and we just honestly, very, okay, here's the thing. Nelf is smaller, more personal, whatever. When me, you, and him went to lunch, and I sent him an email on this today. To me, that was one of the most fun yet productive discussions I had at NELF because it was just us three. Mm-hmm. You know, with a smaller group of people, we could stay more focused on a topic and just talk through stuff. And the one thing I gathered right then and there during that talk was, A, his level of dedication to this is second to none.
Yeah.
But B, He really does, in, I don't know if he knows it, he really does have, I think, a talent for thinking common sense. I mean, rationalizing stuff out on how things should be done to not only benefit the turnout and the people coming to the fest, but to make NELF stand proud, you know, not to do things that could blemish or hurt the name long term, but to like keep on the right track kind of thing. Yes. And that and that was one of the ways that I really just wanted to just lean over, pat him on his back, and pay for his lunch.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's like, dude, come on. I mean, can I do some of your work for you so you have more time to devote to the fest?
Right.
Yeah.
No, he was definitely the hero of the festival. Because, and even the guys will admit that, so I'm not talking bad about the festival at all or casting any ill light on it, but there were some hiccups. There were some unforeseen circumstances that happened the first morning. And several people lent in their hands to get them resolved. But the one guy that remained, I mean, just calm and cool was yeah. Bruce Patterson. Yeah. Because we were coming up to him like, you know, Bruce, here's this issue. And he's like, okay. And then he would immediately say, well, here's how we're going to fix it. Or he would be like, I'll be right back. And then he would leave the room and come back and be like, okay, that's done. What else is going on? And yeah. you'd just be like, what did he do? Like, he just like stepped out for not even 2 minutes and it's just taken care of. Yeah. Like, there were some major things that happened that you don't want to happen when you have people standing there waiting to get into talks that happened and they were just like immediately resolved. Right. So yeah, kudos to Bruce Patterson. And I got to tell you, he did that all day Saturday and all day the fest was running Sunday and even had a lot, I mean, obviously he had to have some dedication leading up to it before to get the pre-planning to make that happen. But yeah, on top of all that, when we did have a little bit of time to step aside, and I immediately recognized him by his voice when he and Jonathan met me at the train station. Yeah. But one of the most approachable, cool people I met all weekend.
Right, and he's very good at his job.
He is very good at his job, which he exclaimed to us to a certain degree.
Yes.
And he is beyond right.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll say real quick, there's a question in the chat basically asking how many people came up and knew Podnuts, knew about the show, knew about the network, knew about me and or Cody. I have a number, Cody. I'm going to say at least between 8 and 12 people just came up, and a good percentage of them literally just came up, shook my hand, said, I like what you're doing, I like the show, you know, have a lot of fun, and then boom, disappeared.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would say I was approached by about that many people as well, but I could see that, because, I mean, I interface with the public a lot of the time, so I can kind of read people as far as body language and stuff and eye contact. So I could see that the people were coming up to me, and they all came up and said really nice things and let me know how much the show was impacted. But nearly all of them were like, well, I'm going to leave you alone. And I purposely made a point to start ask them questions too, because I wanted to get to know these people. Because if you guys are listening to the show, and I had a few of them go, you know, you told me that if I saw you here, I should come talk to you. So here I am talking to you right now, which I thought was awesome. And that by far was one of, if not the, I would say it was the most rewarding thing that happened to me during the festival, was meeting a lot of you people. And I say that because, and I even told some of the people this, and I've explained it to Dora too, it's, this show for me is so fun and educational, not only doing it, but the journey and the experience I've had as a listener and as a co-host, but for us to understand how many people we're impacting, it's hard unless we get correspondence via email or other online purposes, or even more gratifying, to meet you people in person and have you share your stories. And I got some very personal stories as far as their involvement with Linux since they started listening to the show. And that experience for me was above and beyond the number one most rewarding thing that I took out of this festival. And I thank every single one of you. I'm bad with names sometimes, but John McCarthy was one of them. Several groups of people came up and just asked, so you're Cody Cooper, right? I was like, yeah, who are you? And extended my hand, introduced themselves, engaged them in conversation. And yeah, that was the most rewarding and fun part of the entire festival for me, above and beyond.
Yeah, I believe initially that these talks are going to be published on Frostbite Media, but we also did an HPR episode.
Yes.
I think that was Sunday? Did we do it Sunday?
Yes, we did. We went to Russ's hotel room. It was me, you, Russ Winter, Bruce Patterson, Jonathan Nato, and Pokey and Bad Wolf. We're all in there. Am I missing anybody? I don't think so.
I don't think so.
But we released our sort of thoughts on the festival, and then they'll be releasing it as a Hacker Public Radio episode. So there were some stories that we shared in that, which we didn't share here, especially, and this is a little bit of a teaser, Russ Winter and I's trip to Five Guys Burgers and Fries, which you must hear because it was awesome.
Yeah.
Check out that episode.
Yeah, I'll say I was really impressed at the people who came up and just introduced themselves. I will say this was one of the most disturbingly disappointing aspects of this fest to me, and it was me. I had absolutely zero Podnuts propaganda to give away. I would have loved it if everyone who came up and introduced themselves and said they knew the show, I could have gave a hat or a shirt to. Mark my words. If I have to donate blood between now and OLF, I am going to do something. I'm going to have some stuff to give away. I'm not going to have enough for everybody, probably, but I want to have at least 10 to 20 shirts or and like 10 hats or something just to give away to people, because I honestly want to show these people thanks. That's why I always say I want to buy you a beer to people, because I want to show them thanks. Mm-hmm. I would have loved to have been able to hand out at least a limited number of stickers, shirts, or hats, and I didn't. And I know someone said it to me before the fest, but it completely slipped my mind. And I didn't even have, like, Podnuts business cards.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? With just a little blurb on there, what the network's about, and how you can find out more information. I had nothing. I had absolutely nothing. And by midday Saturday, I realized how incompetent that made me look, and I got nearly physically ill at the thought of it. Jonathan and Bruce kept telling me not to worry about it. Don't worry about it. There are plenty of people here that have nothing to promote their stuff. But the real kicker was when I was going down the tables and I noticed Hacker Public Radio had a plethora of good stuff to give away. And Guru even brought some Android buffet cards. And I'm not insulting, because I know Guru doesn't listen to this show either. I'm not insulting Guru by saying even Guru thought of it, but Guru was only there for one day.
Right. And he had some.
Yeah. And he knew to bring business cards.
Mm-hmm.
So my lessons learned on that, I got to say that.
Well, yeah, you shouldn't feel ashamed or stupid or just like, oh, geez. Missed opportunities are all about how you follow them up. And I got to tell you, just the conversations that Dor and I have had since NELF and during NELF, we got a lot of big stuff planned for OLF. So it's just all about learning about missed opportunities. And yeah, we've had some talks. I'm sure we'll have more leading up to that event. But the Podnuts presence is going to be very well known at OLF 2013. And speaking about missed opportunities, NELF, they were at Harvard, obviously, this year instead of at Worcester University. So they had some things that they were going to implement next year. And I got to say, I want to really thank all the people that are lending help for that committee to be next year, because making these events not necessarily bigger every year, but at least better every year is the key. And just like the Linux community, the one thing that makes this possible is the community and the lending of hands and the people that are genuinely benefiting and that really love these events, wanting to actively be a part of making them better, which is fantastic.
Yeah, and I'll say there will be a link, hopefully, in the show notes to a project. Okay, John Mandog is one of the most utterly forward-thinking peoples I think I can ever meet. I mean, this guy thinks so intelligently about stuff, it's almost scary. One of the things he talked about, which he's been talking about for a while, is called Project Kaua. C-A-U and A with a umlaut above it. I believe there's also an HBR episode coming out for this as well. What he's doing, it's a, like a pilot program demonstrating how useful and functional this technology and economy can be. Okay. He's focusing on San Juan. I don't remember.
It was a Brazilian
city.
Yes, it was one of those.
Okay, he's focusing on the most populous São Paulo.
There you go, São Paulo, yeah.
It's one of the most congested, compacted cities in the world. Okay, it is, sorry, because it's one of the most vertical cities. They have skyscrapers like 10, 12, 20 plus stories as far as the eye can see. So it's people are condensed very close and tight. And he's putting out a initiative where he's even went to the level of working with governments and banks to get support from the banks to give out loans to independent people to start independent companies of offering internet service to a large group of people that does not have it now through wireless mesh networking. And the hardware for this is going to be a Raspberry Pi with XBMC on it. And I believe it's going to dual boot using, I don't want to say Debian, but using something with some basic tools on it to do web browsing, document creation, and such. And he's going to basically have them pre-designed, pre-configured, ready to roll. If you need a monitor or TV, you buy that bundled with it. It's going to be attached to the back of the TV. And it's going to use wireless mesh networking, so it's wireless. You basically wire the ground floor, and then it's mesh all the way up the building. And if you want Windows or you want Mac and you live there, you can pay for that, and you can get on the network, and you can do this system. I'm happy to see someone with a brain utilizing the Raspberry Pi to make internet access much more of a given for entire communities and areas and maybe even countries in the near future where there will be almost no reason for no one to not have one. Because it's a Raspberry Pi, people. Even in third world countries, that's not an insane amount of money.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? At worst, like a month's salary, you know, where if they want anything of anything good, they're going to have to spend more money than that. You know? So I cannot commend this man enough for taking a lot of this responsibility onto his head. And one of the best things, and this is a good way of explaining why you should go listen to Mad Dog's Talk. The first version of this was version 1.0, which couldn't work. After looking into it, they said it can't work. So then they went to version 0.5, and they saw that couldn't work. So then they put out the next version called version 0.1. And this is going to be this has the highest probability of being successful. And if you notice, I went down in version numbers. Okay? Nobody goes down in version numbers.
Yep.
Mad Dog does what Mad Dog wants to do. That's all I got to say.
Mm-hmm.
If you definitely get a chance to listen to his talk, I can't encourage you enough. Listen to that man's talk. It was like an hour, 20 minutes, I want to say. Maybe the best hour, 20 you might spend this coming year. Because let me tell you something. You watch Spider-Man or Iron Man, you ain't learning nothing. Okay? You are not going to be happier about anything. You're not going to look forward to anything. You're not going to think this world is going to get better because of watching this movie. Listening to Mad Dog should give you a certain amount of optimistic hope and insight into how other things in this world work. You know?
Yes, very, very, I would say his charisma and ability to educate and all the other qualities that he brings to his talks is definitely something to aspire to. And trust me, when I watched him talk this year, man, I was taking notes because I am, I wasn't discouraged by my talking situation whatsoever. It just made me that much hungrier to get back into it and for the next one. So,
yeah.
So, are we about ready to wrap up the Nelf talk door?
Yeah, I'll just say we honestly planned on only being on here for about a half an hour. We're now at an hour 25.
Right.
And it's only because we really had so much insane fun. We want to honestly try to help people understand on what these things really mean to us. And I can't. I know I can't. It's impossible because you have to be there to really understand what's going on. It's a large group of people, okay? But it's nothing like, you know, when you go to school or you go to a mall or you go to a preview of a movie on the first night. It's nothing like that at all. And it's nothing like a lug either, okay? It's almost like you're a Mickey Mouse fan and you go to Disney World and you're surrounded by Mickey Mouse fans. If you don't have a good time, there's something genuinely wrong with you. I'll say that because there's more than a couple people at every fest I go to who do not run Lennox. They don't even run Lennox and they still have a great time because it's really not about Lennox. Lennox is there, but it's really about the people, the community, about the camaraderie, about the people you can meet, and about just having a good time and laughing. So I'm already looking forward to the next fest, OLF, later this year, and I'm looking forward to NELF next year too. I'm pretty assured there's no way I'm going to be able to go to Southeast Lennox Fest this year. I am a little disappointed about that, but my logic is I'm going to try to go to one extra Lennox conference a year. Last year I went to one. This year I'm going to two. Next year I'll try to go three.
Well, that makes perfect sense because you're going to scale 2014, so that will be the third for 2014, and that'll just fit in with your whole plan. So it's great.
Exactly what I was thinking, Cody. Exactly.
I love to hear you say that. Well, you know what? What we should do is grow them exponentially. So next year could be four. You can go to NELF, OLF,
no,
SELF,
no,
and mm-mm, to scale.
No, no.
Okay.
I need to have a woman who lives with me who does not want to kill me. And that's all I'm saying. She needs to not want to kill me. Because if she does want to kill me, I can't go to any more fest.
All I'm saying is that if there are the proper incentives, anything can happen. And we're going to move along from that. Just to leave the listeners in suspense.
I know, but my eye's twitching.
Okay. No, you'll be fine. You'll be fine. Worst case scenario, I'll talk to her, get her all riled up, and you can deal with her for the rest of your life. So, basically, yeah, NELF 2013 was awesome. We gave a pretty comprehensive review of our experience. But, I mean, I want to thank everyone involved, but none more than Jonathan Nato for making it happen.
Mm-hmm.
And another big thing I took away from it was, even though we're involved with him and the ACF to a certain degree, to a very minute degree as far as promoting it and being aware of him and knowing him as a person, every time I'm around him and I'm talking to him, I realize how much stuff is not accessible.
Oh, yeah.
How much stuff he just can't use to the point where I have to go, hey, Jonathan, I don't know if you've, and I always say seen because that's the language that he'll use. Like, yeah. I never saw that before. Obviously, he didn't see because he's blind, but whatever. I'll say, hey, Jonathan, have you seen this before? And he'll either say yes or no. And I'm like, well, is it accessible? Is there a way for you to do it? And I'm always amazed at what he just can't do because certain tools don't allow him the ability to interface with it.
Yeah.
But he's never negative about it. It's been obviously because he has an entire foundation dedicated toward making it more aware of it and trying to fix the solution.
Yeah.
Trying to fix the problem, excuse me.
Yeah, and here's a perfect example of how people don't think about it, okay? Every hotel, okay, even this hotel, which was owned by a school, okay, who nobody is going to be more accessible than a school. because they want your money. You want a lot of money, okay? Jonathan got a hotel room key. Jonathan can stumble down the hall and feel the walls and read the Braille when he's at the right room number, okay? He can do that. But then when he goes to put his key in the door, if you think about it, there's one of four ways you can put your key in the door. And there is zero physical indication of which is the right way to put the key in the door. So it could take him literally 10 minutes to get in his own room. Because sometimes you swipe it in the right direction and stuff, and it still won't work. So
it's a key card.
So he literally has to, in his head, go, put it in, didn't work, flip it this direction. Put it in, it didn't work. Now flip it that direction. Flip it, oh, it didn't work. Now flip it this direction. Put it in, it didn't work. And then go through that whole routine until the door finally opens. Okay? That's the kind of thing that we take for granted. Mm-hmm. We just take it for granted. All it would take is for them to put a little bumps on one side. Just little bumps. Like on your credit card, you can feel the numbers. So Jonathan knows which way is up. He knows which way it should be facing. Hotel room keys are completely flat all around. Okay? He literally had to guess which way it went. You know? And that's the kind of thing that we just don't even think about. Doesn't even hit our minds. The more we go out of our way to communicate with people like this, the more we understand, the better everything can become. And honestly, I've never said this on a show, but I'll say this. 1,000+ years ago, the percentage of people with disabilities was insanely lower because we as a culture just let them die. Okay? We didn't try to sustain their life. Okay? We literally let them die because we had other things to worry about. Now, we're in the future, we do a lot more things to help life live on. And back then, if you got your leg cut off, you probably died. Now, you can easily live. As time goes on, the number of people who need accessibility is only going to continue to go up. You know, granted, we're going to have, like, quote-unquote, bionic legs, you know, kind of thing, but there's still going to be certain things that they cannot do. There'll be other things they'll be able to do better, but there'll be certain things that are going to be difficult for them. The sooner we address these issues, the easier it's going to be to continue to address these issues. Mm-hmm. And that's what I honestly would like to see happen. I don't know what it would take, but that's what I would like to see happen. And Jonathan doing this fest, while it is for GNU Linux, it is for free software, the side benefit to free software is people have the availability to improve that software to make it more accessible. And, you know, that's where he just shines.
Definitely. Big props to him for the whole weekend. Not only his contributions to the fest, but every minute that we weren't at the fest, he was still just one of the best people to hang out with. Yeah. And he did a lot of good stuff for us. So I really, really do thank him from the bottom of my heart for everything that he did do to make not only us welcome in the area, but for putting on one heck of an event. We did have some news topics we want to get to. I'm going to go ahead and bump those to next week along with the email just so we can devote some more time to them. However, there is one news item I do want to mention because it's time sensitive. Of course, we all know the Humble Bundle. They, and I believe this is the start, one of many to come, they are now doing weekly sales. So if you go to humblebundle.com right now, they are doing a weekly sale for the game Bastion. Now, Bastion, for those of you who don't know, is a well-known indie game. Very, very popular. It's been out for a number of years now. Right now, if you donate $1 or more, you get a Steam key, which is DRM-free, for the game Bastion. And it works on Mac, Windows, and Linux. Okay. If you beat the average, which as of right now, this recording, only $2.68, you get the game and the digital soundtrack, another MP3 or FLAC, a digital art pack, sheet music, and iPhone and Android ringtones. For $25 or more, you obviously get all of the previous content, including a Bastion bandana, the original soundtrack physical CD, a Bastion postcard, and a Transistor postcard, Supergiant's next game. Oh, okay, so it's the company's next game. And then they're going to ship that worldwide so anybody can get it. This, to me, is a very cool way for them to take this sort of business model, because if you guys haven't bought any Humble Bundles in the past, you definitely should have. It's a fantastic organization, but to see them kind of do like this little micropayment model for one game and then still have the ability to get extras and sort of, you know, beat the average and get more is very, very cool. I will say it's only running for a week. It's right now only been running for 11 hours, and they've already sold over 25,000 bundle, 25,000 of these. So kudos to them. It'll still be running by the time you hear this show, so please go check it out. And there's a trailer right on the front page, and I got to tell you, if you watch this trailer and if you don't immediately buy the game for at least $1, there's something wrong with you. Unless you just don't like games or don't like giving money to good organizations or just don't have time to play games, in which case those are legitimate excuses, but please check it out. Dor, watch the trailer. What did you think of the trailer, Dor?
I got it.
Boom.
I kind of used the wife's credit card, and I'll hear about it in like a couple weeks, but for now she doesn't know. Because it did look that good. And I haven't been able to get the last two ones because of lack of funds. So I wanted to get one. This one to me looked like good. I mean, it isn't like it had repeat apps on it that I already have or games on it that I already have. It looked to me to be a completely new maybe thing. Maybe they're going to try to do this kind of bundle here in the future. Instead of focusing on the number of games, focus on extra stuff you can get with the game.
Yeah. And sprinkling these in between the bundles, I think, is a very smart move. Mm-hmm. On top of like the digital book bundles they're having in, and the album bundles, like the music bundles, very, very, very cool. So yeah, I'm glad to see that taking off, and I'm doing whatever I can to promote it because it's all for a worthwhile cause. So it's very cool. All right, Dor, where can we find you?
Well, you can find me at podnuts.com. I literally just released another new Podnuts Pro today. Matt and Lalo, I can't thank those guys enough. And I know those two Windows admins don't listen to the show. I've mentioned a lot of people that don't listen to the show tonight. I've noticed that.
Well, we should do whatever we can to get them to listen to the show. What I've always said in the past is when people give me an excuse for not coming to an event of mine or doing this or whatever, I always say, well, don't worry, because I've purposely made it more important than anything else you could possibly be doing. Which I think should be the tagline for this show.
I don't know about getting Matt Rainey to listen. And that's okay. But I literally just released an episode of that. I also just released, before I went to NELF, an episode of Pod Nuts with Derek from MSP or Fail. Which I will say, if you do it right, you could utilize a lot of open source free software and being an MSP, i.e. Upfront costs, setup costs for some of these systems and services could be quite negligible, i.e. maximizing the amount of profit you have. I'll just say that.
I agree. Yeah. If you can automate something, especially follow up with your customers, or Chris Berry spoke about it to a certain degree too, with setting up ways where you could notify your customers of like automatically renewing antivirus, but that way you get a cut of it as well. And I'm sure a lot of it that'll be covered in that episode. I haven't heard it yet, but I can't wait, because I always love hearing the more advanced and creative business aspects of being a computer tech.
Well, I'll say first and foremost, this guy was really smart.
Nice.
I honestly felt stupid when I was talking to this guy, because he kept kind of saying things as a matter of fact. And we all know, Steve, about this. Oh, yeah, we do. But really nice guy. He has a really good product out there. I really encourage people to give him a chance. I do want to do more stuff with Door Geek on a personal level. We'll have to not hold our breath and wait and see what happens with that.
But I'll say that we're post-NELF right now. We're sort of regrouping, sort of distributing our energy when it comes to certain efforts that we want to do, and that is definitely on the list. So check that out soon. But yeah, please contact Dora on Google Plus, or you can send an email to podcast@linuxthereftofus.com if you have any questions. Mm-hmm. If you have a voicemail, please send it in to 7076-PODNUT. That is 7076. I don't have the number up on my notes. That's okay. It's just 7076-PODNUT. Don't put the Z, because that says Z is somewhere else, I think. But yeah, 7076-PODNUT. We're out of voicemails right now. We have some emails we're going to address next week. I, of course, have Cody Cooper. You can contact me at cody@podnuts.com, of which I ran a contest a few weeks ago. For the first person to email me at that new email address of mine will get a limited edition high five. The person who won that contest was Martin Rambo Obando. And I, it just happened to work out that he lives about an hour from me. So we met at our local Fry's Electronics, and we got the high five commemorated by with a photograph taken by a Fry's employee. And you can check out that photo on Google Plus. I just say a quick story about that photo. We were for those of you who haven't been to Fry's, that you've probably been to like some larger, like the warehouse club places where they check your receipt at the door, you know, on your way out. Well, they do that at Fry's, and we both had them check our bags and our receipts. And then I asked the guy, I said, by the way, would you mind taking a photo of us really quick? And the guy said, oh, you want to take a photo because you're shopping here at Fry's? That's cool. And I said, no, it's just that we've known each other online for a little while, and he won a contest, so we need someone to take the photo. But you could just see him, the Fry's employee, completely deflated. Like, oh, they're not excited to be shopping here. But I thought it was pretty funny. But yeah, definitely check out that photo.
You know, I'll just say really quick, I noticed something.
What's that?
Martin's kind of gigantic.
He's a big dude.
Well, and he's a really nice and a really smart guy. Mm-hmm. Guru was kind of gigantic. Really smart guy, really nice guy. Bruce, Russ Winter has the hands of the Jolly Green Giant. Mm-hmm. He's a big man. Really smart guy, really nice guy. I'm starting to see a trend here. Computer guys who are giants are nice.
Well, I'm not. Well, I'm taller than you, Dore.
So. You are, and that picture made you look like a kid.
I know. Yeah, you guys got to check out the photo, Martin. Well, and by big we mean just like a taller person, but yeah. Martin's also kind of stacked, almost like if he told me, yeah, I used to bounce in college, but like, yeah, dude,
I
of course you did.
Yeah,
but he was like an EMT. But I can imagine, you know, like lifting up those stretchers, you know, lifting up those heavy syringes, like those, that takes muscle. So you really do have to have some muscle mass to get that done. But he plays softball too. So yeah, he's a well built individual. I'll say that. But yeah, when I saw him for the first time, because I'm there with my son, I look up at this guy. I'm like, oh hey, Martin, how's it going?
Yeah, I would have been like, dear God, don't hurt me.
No, very very cool. And for those of you who don't know who Martin is, he helps us with our live shows, injecting links into the chat. But he also had a great episode of Podnuts Daily, so you must check that out. And then right before we go, please check out the ACF.co, the Accessible Computing Foundation, which is run by Jonathan Nato of the Northeast Linux Fest. For as little as $2 a month, you can become a subscriber, and that money goes directly to helping the foundation bring accessible computing into the hands of those who really do need it. As always, please check out our Amazon link at podnuts.com/Amazon. If for those of you who are going to be making purchases on Amazon anyway, you can use this link and the network will benefit from it. We do appreciate it. We do also have a link, podnuts.com/Newegg. There's also a /eBay/ clothing link. And if you go to podnuts.com/deals, you can see a large comprehensive list of all the links that we have, which you can use to contribute to the network, and we do deeply appreciate it. Thank you very much for listening to this episode, and please remember that Linux is not just for the rest of us, it is for all of us. Good night.